This is the English translation of a message delivered by Pastor Him Chan Chon on February 25th, 2024. The message title is Living in God's Control, and the scripture passage is from Book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Good morning. We are going to have a communion service this morning, but first let us receive God's guidance for our life. Please turn to a Book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 from the New Testament. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The passage we read now is a passage that records the time when Jesus began his ministry. It began with the preaching of God's gospel in Galilee, as we read today. It says God's gospel. I think everyone is well aware that the word gospel means good news. Before that, there is the word God's. In other words, what God is about to do and what God is actually doing is good news for people. And Jesus conveyed that good news to people. In the original language, the word translated as proclaim is keruso, which means to proclaim the fact. In other words, here Jesus is publicly proclaiming a fact that has already been determined. So what is the gospel of God? The content of God's gospel is revealed in the words spoken by Jesus, recorded in verse 15. This is what is written in the first half of verse 15. The time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near. These are very short words, but here we are told what the gospel of God is. Let's take a look at them one by one. First, Jesus said, "The time has come." To help us understand the time coming, I would like us to imagine pouring water into a glass. When we pour water into a glass, there comes a time when the glass becomes full. This is the moment when the cup is full. There is also a history of adding water to fill this glass. History brings you to a moment when the cup becomes full. When Jesus said, "The time has come," means that the decisive time has come. And there was a history of preparation for this decisive moment. Of course, it is not a short preparation like water being poured into a glass, but a decisive moment that has been prepared for a very long time. For example, at the beginning of the verse 14, which we read today, we read that after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee and began preaching the gospel. This was not something that suddenly happened in the vague flow of time, but Jesus began preaching the gospel with a clear awareness of the time. In order for Jesus to begin preaching the gospel, John the Baptist needed to do the work of preparing the way for the Lord in the wilderness. That's not all. Long before the arrival of John the Baptist, God had a plan and used all kinds of methods to intervene in history and prepared for the fulfillment of this time. The Old Testament testifies us to this. Through that preparation, the time has come, and this decisive moment has arrived. So why is this moment so decisive? This is because the promised Savior has come for mankind and the gospel has been proclaimed. Jesus said, "The time has come and the kingdom of God has come near. These words, the kingdom of God has come near, are important words that express the gospel. The word is translated as country of God, but the literal translation is kingdom of God. This means that a country has come where God will rule and rule as king. In other words, Jesus is inviting people to come under God's control. So why is this invitation to the kingdom ruled by God the gospel, the good news? Of course, living under God's rule is nothing but a blessing for people. But what exactly is good news? I think one way of looking at it is like this. This is good news in the sense that the kingdom of Israel will be reestablished. At the time of Jesus preached the gospel, the Jewish people were living under the rule of Roman Empire. Furthermore, looking back at the past, the kingdom of Israel, which once flourished during the time of David and Solomon, was later divided into north and south, and eventually northern Israel was destroyed by Assyria, and southern Judah was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, and the history of living as a people in exile was revealed. For the people who had lived as a wandering people in this way, the fact that Israel would be restored again must have been the good news they had so desperately hoped for. However, if you wonder if this is what the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about is, I don't think so. For example, in John chapter 6 verse 15 we read, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Jesus responded to the passionate actions of those who wanted to make him king by walking away from them. We can see Jesus' actions like this in other parts of the gospel as well. In other words, I think that the good news that Jesus spoke of was not the political liberation, freeing people from the domination of other countries. So what is the good news about the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus spoke about? In conclusion, it is good news in the sense that God frees people from the control of the devil or Satan and allows them to live under the control of God. The good news is that the time has come for salvation to be freed from the control of the devil, Satan. This can be confirmed by looking at the word that describes what Jesus actually did. Please look at Mark chapter 1 verses 12 and 13, which immediately precede today's passage. This is a record of where Jesus was and what he was doing before he began preaching the gospel. Mark chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Before Jesus preached the gospel, he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and was tempted by Satan. Verse 12 says, the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness, but it was not Satan who came to Jesus. The Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness to be tested by Satan. The details of this trial are recorded in chapter 4 of the Gospels of both Matthew and Luke. It is written that Jesus won against the temptation of Satan. After defeating Satan's temptation, Jesus began preaching the gospel by speaking today's message. Let's also take a look at what Jesus did after that. After today's passage, Jesus calls his disciples. Then look at verses 21 through 27. Mark chapter 1 verses 21 through 27. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." What did Jesus do? He had demons cast out. In fact, he freed those who were held captive by Satan's dominion. Even since the first man, Adam, and his wife Eve were tempted by the serpent in the Garden of Eden and fell into sin, no one has been able to overcome Satan's temptations. Every single human being was captured under Satan's control, and no one could escape from his control. However, when the time came, Jesus, God's only Son, came to this earth as a man and won the temptation of the devil, which no one could ever overcome, and cast out the demons and freed them from the devil's control. He opened the way so that we could enter a country that was ruled by God. Jesus preached the gospel, saying, "The time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near." And then I went on to say, "Repent and believe the good news." The words in the first half, "The time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near," are written in the perfect tense. In other words, these are words that declare a fact that has already happened. However, in contrast, the words that follow, "Repent and believe the good news," are in the present imperative tense. In other words, since the time of salvation has come, it is a request or command from Jesus to repent now and believe the gospel now. To repent means to change your mind and turn around. When we think about repentance from the gospel words spoken by Jesus that we have seen together today, it means that we should change our direction from following the temptations of Satan and living under its rule, and instead live under the rule of God. Repentance can be accompanied by regret, remorse, and tears of pain. But that is not the essence of repentance. The essence of repentance is that there is a change of direction towards God, a change of way of life. Until now, I had been in control of my own life, but when I surrender myself to God's control, I surrender to live my life under God's control. This is what repentance is all about. However, repentance is not something that humans can bring about. It is the work of God done by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. However, if we do not even ask for it, that is, if we close our hearts to God, the Holy Spirit cannot work within us. In the book of Revelation, Jesus told the church in Laodicea this way. Revelation chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." The gospel is the good news that we can be freed from the control of the devil and live under the control of God. And Jesus tells us to believe this gospel. Through the words of the Bible, we are informed that liberation from the devil's dominion and that sure fulfillment of God's rule were achieved through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, Jesus himself came as the gospel and confirmed the gospel. Believing in the gospel means believing completely and without doubt that Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection was completely for my benefit, that is, Jesus is my Savior. Through faith, people are promised forgiveness of sins and eternal life even after death. Therefore, those who believe in the gospel will be filled with the joy of the freedom of being released from sin and that of living forever under God's. Believe the gospel, Jesus said. I would like to remember that Jesus himself spoke using this word, gospel. In other words, Jesus spoke good news to people and to us. There is something we would like to think about. The question is whether the gospel is really good news for me. Rather, isn't all the news that brings a smooth sailing life in this world good news for me? Satan uses his temptations to control us and lead us to destruction. Are there any areas in our lives that are still under Satan's control? Do you want to get out of there? Do you wish to be saved? God's only begotten Son came to this earth and brought us good news. The time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near, and he is calling upon us, repent and believe the good news. Let us pray.